Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the planning meeting of Melbourne Parish Council on the 12th of November at 7:30. Item PL3918 to receive and approve apologies for absence.
Councillor Hart sends apologies, acceptable reasons have been given.
Can I have a proposal that this is acceptable? Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Buxton seconds. Those in favour?
Unanimous. For information check, District Councillor Hart sends her apologies, but we are trying to split ourselves between the various parish council meetings to be up tonight.
Okay. Thank you. PL 4018 to receive any declarations of interest and dispensations. I've got one declaration, I don't think it's particularly 4518D. I'm on nodding terms with the Pollocks. I wouldn't say that we don't go out for drinks together, but I'm aware of them. Just to be squeaky. Anyone else? I assume therefore there's no dispensations been requested.
No.
Thank you. So moving on to item 4118, to approve the minutes of the Planning Committee on the 8th of October. Anyone got any comments? Councillor Buxton? No?
No.
Okay, can I have a proposer? Councillor Clark, and a seconder, Councillor Buxton. Those in favour? Unanimous. To report back, item PL 4218, to report back on those minutes. Do you have anything to report?
Yeah, two items to report. The first is that the street names for the development of New Road have now been finalised. I circulated them today. Mm-hmm. They're all named after flowers. And the second item is that the proposed road closure and the new road development is going ahead despite our objections. I'm told that the road is going to be closed between the 3rd and the 12th of December, although that may change.
If I could pass a comment, there's a sign up there at the moment saying it's closing from the 27th of November to the 3rd of December.
Yeah, the traffic road order says they will close from approximately the 3rd to approximately the 12th. The rules are, as long as the signage is up a certain amount of time in advance, then they can close it when they like.
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, item PL 4318, public participation, there being no members of the public. We should skip over this one. Item PL 4418, decision notices since the last meeting, just the one. The extension and conversion of part of the existing driving range at Kingsway Golf Centre has been approved. The original comments from ourselves were to support that development. Mm-hmm. We'll come on to PL 4518, planning applications. Item A is for information only, so discharge of condition 3, precise details, 4 landscape, 7 tree protection, and 11 traffic management of planning permission for number 9, the Moor, Melbourne, Mr. and Mrs. Pinnell. So duly note that. Item B is a ground floor extension at Southwell Court, and that's on Hinkins Close, Melbourne. Any comments from anybody?
Well, there were a number of objections, mostly to do with overgrown vegetation. But there's a handwritten letter from an old chap who, or I think it was a chap, who felt, you know, rather sad letter about, you know, he had certain objections, but he didn't feel something, you know, he wasn't very confident that he could object. And anyway, I don't know. Did they? I don't know.
Read the same.
Yeah. So they, from what I read, the most objections appeared to be related to the block plan, where they had rather slapdashily drawn a border, seeming to object that they were losing access to the rear of their houses, which I don't think was the case at all. The building work is in the middle. District Councillor Hales.
I think this is a very good outcome for this building. We've had guardians in there for the last 2 years at least, if not a bit longer.
Had what, sorry?
Guardians, they're a company that put people who short-term housing issues, they put them in there, they're there to look after buildings so it's not vandalised.
Okay.
And they've kept their end of the bargain. The alternative is that the site is bulldozed and assisted living houses was going to be put up instead. But this company seemed to be in the private market of care. Black Swan, they're a Norwich-based company. And, they don't take people from the public sector, so to speak. Like county council referral, it's all private.
The application itself refers just to roofing over the central courtyard, as far as I can make out, to provide an extra lounge living area. It's within entirely within the confines of the structure, which is a two-storey, maybe three in part.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
I suspect, Chair, that they're going to rip it to shreds inside. It was a 36 bed unit, and if you're going to be private, you want your own bathroom. Mm-hmm. And they were all shared bathrooms, so I suspect there's going to be a lot of work internally.
Indeed, but that's not the matter of the planning application. I personally see no reason to object to this, and in fact I would support it because it means that building is going to remain. Mm. Any further comments? So, do we wish to support with no comment? Councillor Buxton?
Well, probably, yeah, I think
you
so.
Do you wish us to make a comment?
No.
Councillor Buxton made a reference to a letter that's been written with regards to vegetation overgrowing and what have you, and I've been aware of that as well, and I wonder if it would be the gift of this council to say that it approves, but with comment that the company concerned can demonstrate at the earliest opportunity that it sorts out its borders and is overgrown, what have you, so it annoy its neighbours. It is part of the landscaping process for them to do that, and it might be prudent.
We can certainly ask, but it's not a material planning consideration, as you're well aware.
Yeah, very much so. I'm just thinking what the planning officer said to me, so it might be handy.
And that's on the basis of issues raised by neighbours.
Yes, and there's three comments, I think, about overgrown vegetation.
On that basis, I'll support it.
Okay, so support with comments.
Can I just ask for a brief recap of what the proposal is?
Just a request that the developer maintains its borders to a satisfactory standards at the earliest opportunity. Basically to trim down trees and hedgerows.
Or improves the borderline. It's going to improve it. Improve the state of the borderline at the earliest opportunity.
Okay. Improves. So, Councillor Clark proposes, Councillor Buxton seconds, those in favour, unanimous. Okay, item C is proposed tree works to trim back a lime tree at number 2 Lordship Drive. I don't have any particular view on this.
Was there an objection to this?
There was an objection from the resident of Lordship Farm. It seems to be a long-standing dispute.
If I remember reading it properly, didn't this person pop into their land when they weren't there and inappropriately did things to
indeed
property? So why should we approve it now as they've got that type of approach?
That is not material.
No.
Okay.
That's in the past.
Having read all the documentation, I thought, what a cheek.
Well, indeed. But that should make any...
I didn't know whether that was applicable. You know, if there are complaints about that being done, is there a justifiable reason to not trim back?
There was also a reference in that letter to an agreement when the property of the person who's making the application was built, that they wouldn't disturb the trees, and they have no right to light and air and so forth. In other words, they can't complain about the trees, is how I read that.
Well, that's what I was picking up on that basis, because I remember reading that documentation. Is it something that we have to approve?
Tree approvals generally don't seem to come back to us. They will be approved whether we comment or not,
okay,
or approved or rejected, whether we comment or not. It's just, it goes through the planning process.
Okay. Based on what I've read, but it's just based on the documents that I've read, to say that, you know, if there is not a justification for doing it, and it's written into their documents that they're not supposed to touch the trees, they're just going against the original charter or the original agreement.
Sadly, that, although maybe having a legal base, that doesn't seem to have any planning base, as I've found to my cost in the past. Mr. Clark.
Can I just advise committee then that the only circumstances really under which you should comment on a tree application is if you want to object to it. Saying nothing is the same as approving it. And secondly, just to reiterate, that climate issues between neighbours are not material planning considerations and should not factor in.
No, I was just working off the decision you reach. I was thinking about the original document which said you are not supposed to, that's part of the terms and conditions.
I'm not sure if it says you can't. Can you bring that letter up, please? District Councillor Hales.
I'm just accessing this now, but I've got a sneaking suspicion. Is this the tree that hangs over the people's property in Lordship Drive from a neighbour? Basically, is the tree in Lordship Farms property and it's, therefore their tree?
Yeah, it is in... Right. In Lordship Farms property, from what I saw on the maps.
And the original agreement said you have no right to light.
Right, but you have the legal right to cut back a tree in line with your boundary. So.
But there is a pathway at the side running along the edge. It's overhanging the pathway first.
Sorry to be a pain, but I thought I actually read something that said that when the properties went up, there was a covenant or something in there that actually said you do not have the right to light, you will not touch these trees. And that was part of the original written agreement. So if that is a factual legal document, then surely...
It's further up.
It's at the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah. Shall not be entitled by obligation otherwise to any easement or right of light or air.
And is that what they're asking for? Right now.
In any way diminish or interfere with the free and undisturbed use of Lordship Farm or any part or parts thereof.
So if that's a legal undertaking when they moved in, surely they have to abide by it.
That path is the driveway to Lordship Drive. That's not. This is the high street.
Yeah.
So that's that Lordship Drive's driveway. That's not a public footpath.
Okay.
The boundary between the two, you would have the right to trim back someone's tree, you have to give it back, offer back their stuff, but because this is in a conservation area, then planning has to be sought. This is the simple process. Yeah. Whether there's a covenant on there or not, there was just to advise the committee, there was a covenant on this site held by Lordship Farm, and those same criteria were put here, and the trees were cut back because it was lawfully allowed to do so. You're not damaging the tree, you're not trying to kill off the tree, you're just trying to raise the thing because it's overhanging your property.
I would apologise for the minutes then, that this was my lack of understanding of the difference between a covenant and a...
It's fine, but I'm not sure, although it's generally believed to be true, I'm not sure it is actually true that you're legally entitled to just chop back to the boundary. I think I read that somewhere some time ago.
Yeah, because if that becomes pollarding of some description, then that's a different measure. It's not just taking a few overhanging branches, but... Okay.
So do we wish to object to this?
Do we have...
I don't think
okay, so to object.
It would seem that the only issues are those surrounding rights of access and covenants, neither of which are material planning considerations.
No comment.
Support with no comment.
That's
the only option. Just to ignore it completely. Can we vote to do nothing?
Yes.
Councillor Clark.
I'll vote to do nothing.
Councillor Dawson.
Go along with that, yes.
Those in favour of doing nothing? So we propose and vote to just say no, make no comments at all on the allegation. Okay, item D is a variation of condition 2 for a planning consent for a loft conversion with roof windows for number 52 Orchard Road. Condition 2 related to putting obscure glass and having non-opening windows.
And changing the site, wasn't it?
No, condition 2 was just the...
Just
the obscure glass and the windows cannot be open, therefore you can't intrude on somebody else's privacy. And on the original planning, if you go back to the original planning document for that, the proposed elevation commented that those windows would not be opening and there would be obscure glass to section 3, I think it was. The proposed plan now shows more windows on that side of the roof than there was before, and shows them all opening, and there is no comment about obscured glass. And this is what one of the neighbours has objected to. I would propose to object to this on the grounds that condition 2 should be imposed as it was in the original planning application.
Mm-hmm.
If they wish to vary the number of windows, that's a different matter entirely.
If they all stay fixed.
But they should stay fixed and opaque.
Councillor Dawson?
No comment.
Personally, I have no objection to the increase in number of windows.
As long as they remain
closed and...
Was to be initial condition.
Which was the initial condition.
So are we objecting on that basis?
I think so, yeah. Councillor Clark proposing... I'll second it. Those in favour? Unanimous. Item E, which is construction of a dwelling house with single storey front and rear extension and a loft conversion to the existing dwelling house, together with two timber frame garages. This is on the corner of Water Lane and Back Lane, where the hedge has been chopped down.
Chair, can I just point out that eagle-eyed councillors may have noticed a mistake in the agenda.
Yeah, indeed, yes.
It takes you to a planning application
In Impington,
276 rather than 376. I do have the accurate plans up on the projector if you need to look at them.
I apologies for that. Yes, I was looking through that again tonight because I've decided. There are several complaints from neighbours on this one. Did you get a chance to look at the plans? The correct plans, I mean.
Yeah, it's quite imposing.
Yeah, it's essentially turning both properties into three-storey residences. We have objected in the past to garages and access to the adjoining plot. The one on the other side of Greenbanks on the grounds is too close to industrial estate. One of the grounds was that. This is a similar sort of distance on the other side. I think it's over development. There is a big parking issue on Water Lane already. And the maybe District Councillor Hales can assist. The parking would be a single car length driveway up to two single garages. But highway's not quite insistent on entry and exit in first gear, in a forward gear, because that would need reversing in one direction or the other.
There is a real issue with this particular junction. A lot of if you make reference to the house that which was Back Lane and Greenbanks, as you rightly mentioned, there are a whole host of objections to that, with reasons for rejection, if you like. And one of those was more traffic coming out to Back Lane, which doesn't have adequate footpaths, and what have you. This has a footpath just up to the Greenbanks on this one, doesn't it?
So this particular bit.
However, the parking, as you rightly say, from that is now being used along that area, is now causing his own issues. So to add a house in there, and also, I've looked at the plan. Could you bring the plan? The actual plan view rather than the elevations. I'm the impression it was level with this.
Do you want the location plan or the block plan?
Plot plan.
We propose the
place. I think.
That's the baby.
Yeah.
Can you zoom out a bit, I think?
Yeah, it just needs to finish loading first.
I'll take it.
It's a huge PDF.
The house is essentially forward. This is quite a dodgy little junction, as you all know anyway. Vision to the left is generally obscured in one way, form or another. And now that we have cars parking all the way down that right hand side next to the pavement, legally parking.
It's essentially turned the road into single tracks.
Indeed. So you now have the two vehicles at the top of the picture into his garage. I'm assuming that other block, is that garage is for just this house or for both houses?
That's both houses. It's one garage for each house.
Right, so they're not going to reverse onto their drives, they're going to drive into their drives. They become hell high water, human nature. So when they reverse out onto that road, we have an accident waiting to happen. It's right on the junction to the top of the picture where you have green banks where people come out and the delivery people, they come shooting at that. This doesn't give it justice to scale of size, but it is essentially right on top of it. It's essentially one back garden away from that junction for 33 green banks. So this is just another infill issue within Melbourne that leaves no scope for space, and what have you, within the village. And this road is becoming increasingly dangerous.
Yeah.
And to add,
there's traffic generally goes up back lane at a rate of knots.
Yeah.
And that's even before you get the ambulances coming out on the loose.
Yeah, indeed. I think that if you're going to stick with the principles you did for the proposed development of Greenbanks and Backlane at number 18 Greenbanks, then I think that those same principles should apply to this.
Okay. I agree. I think this is overdevelopment.
Is this 2.5 stories as well?
Yes, or it's 2 stories plus roof space. The existing one is also going to be built up.
So they're going to raise that as well, which is going to be out of character. Yeah, this is
it's not going to be raised any more than it is, but they will be
reconvert the loft.
Convert the loft.
It's already high enough as it is. It's on a high bank, so it just feels out of proportion for the actual location.
Area.
Nothing else.
Yes.
That plus traffic and danger from the road traffic.
Coming out of Back Lane onto Water Lane, it's a dangerous junction. It's not helped by those that use Orchard Road, and Back Lane is a rat run from New Road out onto the A10.
Where was he going to put his suds as well? His water, on sub water. His soak away. Where's the soak away?
I think there's anything.
Drainage consultants comments.
It doesn't say.
No. So essentially, at the top of the hill, where we have the water running off this development, whichever way we look at it. Mm-hmm. There is no, are they going to put their surface water into the foul water system, which is unlawful, so that wouldn't be a good idea. There's
plenty of space in the back gardens for them to put in a sud system.
Yeah, indeed. For both houses.
Yeah.
They're all two in the other house.
But I saw no mention of that in the plans that I looked through.
No.
I'm minded to object to this on grounds of overdevelopment, traffic, the existing parking is insufficient, although to be fair it does then take one car that's currently on the road off the road and put it in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
But with 2 5-bed houses there, there would certainly be more than two cars between them.
These 5-bed?
Mm-hmm.
Then they would be wanting to provide more space for parking.
What's the legal?
I think it's 1.5.
It's 1.5 at the old plan, but the new plan is 2.
Yeah, but that's maximum, not minimum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
5 beds are going to create at least 2.
You're not going to have, there is no off-road parking for the number of vehicles.
No, I mean at the moment.
One in the garage and one on the drive behind it.
Which gives you two spaces.
This isn't going to work. They'll put those cars way out on the road. Bet your life.
Plus
just add into
visitors.
The
deliveries.
I mean, there's usually cars parked along that section of Back Lane anyway. Spill over from the industrial estate. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to, they keep being told not to.
I agree with overdevelopment and parking issues and highway issues. Yeah.
Highways, drainage, on street parking is already a problem.
Overdevelopment.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Can I have a proposer to object with the above comments? Are you happy that we've got all done?
Uh-huh.
Thank you. So a proposer for the we objects to this development. Councillor Buxton. And seconded by Councillor Clark. Those in favour? Unanimous. Item F is an amendment to the new office and technology research facilities for TTP at the Science Park. They've changed their transport assessment by adding comments to third party concerns. Councillor Hales? No. So, support with no comment? No. Councillor Clark proposing, Councillor Buxton seconding. Those in favour? Thank you. And the final planning application, item G, is additional information on transport drainage and ecology for operation of 22 dwellings and associated open space at 36 New Road. Councillor Clark, I believe you might have one or two things to comment on.
Well, in the first instance, how appropriate this is, but I believe the transport statement is flawed because it was done prior to anything going on at the Hopkins homes, and they're referring to traffic movements, etc. They're referring to previous accidents, so this has all been done off of a computer up in Leicestershire somewhere without anybody site visiting, I would believe. And it's completely flawed with the number of vehicles they're talking about, how many vehicles are going to come out from two different directions. I think if they're going to do a traffic statement, it should be done now, taking into consideration the Hopkins Homes situation and Victoria Heights situation, because this has been done when we're looking at green fields on their traffic analysis, and there are a number of bits in there which you could actually, if you wanted to go through it, pick holes in. I've found four or five clauses which I found don't make any sense under the current conditions, so I don't believe it's an appropriate document. Also, under the planning consultation response, there's the Highway Authority wishes to raise an objection to the above planning application in its present format for the following reasons. Applicant has failed to take into consideration the layout of the approved access for 199 dwellings. So that supports my concerns over the traffic statement, which was done by a company hired by the company that wants to do the development. How appropriate that is, I don't know. I suppose it's done all the time. But there's a number of objections on that. There's also a number of residents' re-objections, so whether there's, sorry Mr Clark if I'm going over old things, but there are a number of valid reasons that this one should be canned anyway, purely and simply overlooking people's bungalows and things like that. There's a number of things in there. I was also slightly confused when I read the planning consultation sustainable drainage engineer statement. On one he says, unacceptable, and in another one he says acceptable, and they're both sitting in the back. So Are they both in there for a reason, or is it just that someone from County Council
on those?
Oh yeah, the latter one is acceptable, but I'm just wondering whether
this is one of the amendments.
So that's just an amendment. The other document I looked at was, comments from the lead local flood authority. Present they object because the submitted plan titled private drainage and external work showing the private soakaways and permeable paving on the site has different site layout to the drainage layout drawings in Appendix S, F. So there are a number of documents that really do not hold up. Also, there's one other one there. And there was another document I picked up which said something about, I'm not sure if it's infiltration or soak away, but it was taking too long. Go, and also there was combined soakaways using two or three houses using the same soakaway, which is, I don't think, legal, is it? Or is that just a case of...
It's certainly grounds for the relevant agency to object to, because they've done that on a number of occasions.
There was an article in there about multiple use of the same soakaways. So that, plus also the fact that this institution or person applied, didn't exercise, and that was prior to Hopkins being approved, surely CAMS should be looking at this in a negative way anyway, because we've already got our 5-year plan in. Hopkins Homes are there, Victoria Heights are there, they've missed the boat.
Yeah, the original planning that was approved was for 18 houses, and keeping the bungalow in existence. And that was in 2015, and its time expired. That planning was given prior to a planning application being made for 199. The current planning is for 22. We have objected to it at least twice already.
It was 23 at one point, wasn't it, when we objected?
Honestly, don't remember.
It was 23, let's come back. But on the basis that they didn't do anything during the period of their allotted time frame slot to actually start putting foundations or putting something in concrete, in stone, putting something down to say they've started the development, Hopkins Homes has come in, the Care Homes come in, and Victoria Heights has come in. This is just one development too many in a very confined area. It's going to be a road issue of monumental, it's going to have monumental issues because of all the people coming out of the access to Hopkins Homes at the same time as these 22, 23.
Did you?
Council has already made those objections in its original comments.
What about the Hopkins Homes stroke?
About this application, when you originally objected to this application, it was on those grounds.
Okay. Well, I think also we need to bear in mind that the residents are feeling extremely vulnerable. And I think we need to support them again. We need to further support them again through emphasising the fact that, you know, our position hasn't changed.
No, I mean, the objection we put in last time was loss of privacy, traffic management, traffic plan, and the three grounds.
Could we also add to that this time, looking at the transport document, the transport
statement?
So, transport
statement
that this doesn't appear to fit with current situations.
They are your original comments.
Yeah, I read those earlier on. Sorry, I did read those at home. But I think with the transport statement now, it's been taken based off of a computer and not considering Victoria Heights, Hopkins Homes, the care home. That's not been taken into consideration by the people doing the transport document, so I would bring that into question anyway as a valid document.
Would it be possible, Chair, if we brought up the transport document?
Yeah. Please.
May I make a point?
You may.
In the transport statement in paragraph 13...
Sorry. My browser has just decided to update.
Yeah. It's the world we live in now. In paragraph 13, It says outline planning permission was granted the site on the 2nd of March 2017 for the development of 18 residential units and the retention of existing bungalow plus parking and amenity space. Planning reference, blah, 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 15 outline. I was under the impression that that was not the case.
It was a lot earlier.
I thought it was a lot earlier, and the fact that it ran out
in
2017 was the reason it hasn't gone ahead. So I would perhaps challenge paragraph 13 of the transport statement that they haven't necessarily got their ducks in a row, which worries me, as it does count to the clock.
I think there are a number of things within that document, because if you wanted to sit there and pick it apart, based on the current environment and the current situation... Based on the current situation, I think that document is flawed. At least they should redo it.
It actually amuses me that they talk about sustainability and include train journeys. Last time I checked, the only station was in Melbourne, so they have to make some way of getting there, which would probably be a car journey.
Because they're not going to take
taxis, a car journey.
They're not going to walk one. You could walk to Melbourne station from there, but how many households would do that?
A few.
Maybe the odd one or two for cycling, but very few. Now, I think that transport document is basically flawed on the current situation and at least needs to be redone. And also the sharing of cycleways and all that sort of stuff. It's all wrong.
There was a lot of angst with the 199 across the road with regards to sharing of cycleways. Yeah. And it was something that the planning authority and that developer had to go and sort out. So I'm under the assumption that obviously has been sorted because I've now continued to work on. There would be a minimum of mimicking whatever arrangements were allowed on the 199 site. If this was to go ahead, then that would have to be mimicked upon this site. Would it be possible, the discussion that has been had with regards to traffic movements, further down in this document are the traffic movements, they say, well, this number of vehicles will be doing this and the other. We had this discussion with the original applicant for the 199, where there are, the actual fact, that graph there, that table there is quite a good one. Where the applicant for 199 appeared to be living in cloud cuckoo land when he thought that all of the traffic was going to turn left out of their site to access the village, and only 8 cars would actually on a daily basis go to the lights.
Or to go to Mildred station to get a train?
Just to go to the lights. Didn't move any further than that. They were just going to the traffic lights in the centre of the village. That was challenged by County Highways, and they went back and did another revisit, but it was never much increased. So, as a placation, the mover system, which we are going to inherit at some point, is going to be put into the system, MOVA, which is essentially an intelligent system for moving traffic around. It learns what goes on. However, this traffic document, as far as I've read through it, does not mention, and if I've missed it, my apologies, but I don't know if anybody else has seen this, that system. No. They haven't, as you rightly say, Councillor Clark, taken into consideration any of the development around them. They are just using the information that was in the original application, and it just seems childish to put through that type of application without doing your homework. We know to the inch the car movements in this village, and vehicle, motorcycle and pedestrian movements, and at what times of the day, and to the densities, we could count these on the back, quite accurately. And this is why I think we took objection to the 199's blasé approach to this, and this is another blasé approach. Is there any more tables further down, Clark? Because I am itching to see the ones where they talk about how many cars go to wherever it does, trips rate per person, right? Isn't it? So, is essentially all 22 houses will tip out just 22 trips, even though these are likely to be two-car houses.
And children backs and forwards, etc. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that, I would say, is at least...
I find it quite amusing on that table that there's only 22 people leave, only 18 come back.
Mm.
The numbers are absolutely flawed in this document, and they, as, I think, as you said before the meeting started, this was done from a computer somewhere in Leicestershire.
Yeah, it was a tabletop exercise, I'm fairly sure. I think down a bit further, please, Mr. Clark. There'll be another table.
Oh, there is.
Right, so they're using, also there just before the clock ticked off, they were using flawed data. And now they say, the 2011 census data, which, okay, 7 years ago, but they haven't taken into consideration that there is another 1,000 to 1,200 people coming to this village within the next 3 years. And so they're added numbers. They don't take into account the 23 down the ball.
It's a flawed mathematical equation.
Yeah, it is.
And I think it's almost impertinent to put a document like that in here. It's insulting.
Yeah, insulting is the right word.
I would actually go back to South Kensington and say this is actually an insulting document because it bears no relevance to the current state of affairs. And if they're basing some of their numbers on 2011 census, when we've just gone through Victoria Heights care home, 199 houses, it just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. So the document isn't worth what it's written on.
Can you scroll down again?
Do you mind if I scroll down again, Chair?
No, just pull up the next page for the travel mode table.
Okay, trip by travel mode. This is a laugh. It's all very well doing these desktop using equations, but they don't actually seem to fit with reality.
No. And unless all 22 households are going to be fully gainfully employed working in the hub or the TTP park up the road.
I have to ask the question. We already have two sites working opposite each other with the construction traffic that comes into there. Obviously, the 199 is the biggest site and has vastly more traffic movements than anything else. This site, albeit that the highways have already objected to the fact that the access is opposite or too close to the 199, I don't see how they are going to be able to access this site and not cause monumental disruption to the village with construction traffic.
Well, if you take account of the residents that have been sitting opposite the Hopkins home and what they've already had to put up with, I just think it's inhumane to actually put those residents through another spill of this, albeit smaller, during the process.
Right. Well, let me just, if I may, for those councillors who didn't live in the village in the last 10 years, but if you see here it says 2011 slight injury. Now that is the chicane, I think.
It is. Right.
There have been, to my knowledge, during my service as a district councillor, 5 or 6 accidents, one of which the car was on its side, another one was on its roof. Right, and they've slid down the hill because they were coming across the chicane at the wrong way and met something the other way. And that's to the best of my knowledge. So frankly, the fact they've got a 2012 slight accident miles away from this site these ones are superfluous. This one in Carlton Rise, there's the site, and then a slight accident, it doesn't give any description, it just doesn't give the right numbers.
Well, if that's part of what, again, it's flaw in the document, isn't it? Yeah. The document is right.
I think they've chosen their datum carefully.
Indeed.
Well, they're employed by the company.
That would be fairly normal, though.
What do they say about the access to primary school, Chair?
Oh, they say it's walking distance.
It's walking distance, so...
And do they say that the places are available?
No, there's no...
Well, there won't be any places available now.
No. So do they describe in this access and the design access statement what are going to happen to the primary school children and the preschool children?
No. All they supplied is just walking distances to the co-op, to the church.
If I may, Chair, I think this is critical. I think the it is well known that the development, the improvements to Melbourne Primary School have now essentially been filled with what they thought was going to give some slack to the system for future growth and birth rate. It has now been filled, as I understand it, and therefore the primary school essentially can't take any more. And if councillors would cast their mind back to the 160 application from Countryside, their intention was to bus children to Foxton. Okay, so if this application does not have in it what he's going to do with the 5-6 children from its development of primary school age, you work on the 74 for the 199, so I'm working on a percentage. So 5 or 6 from this one, what are they going to do? How are these children going to be educated and where? And how are they going to access that education? Because the 160 was going to provide and pay for a bus to ferry the children from Melbourne to Foxton, and it was going to be funded for a 20-year period. That was a shed load of money, and I don't see anything in here with regards to 106 arrangements.
Can we actually refer to that comment when we go back on this objection?
That comment has already been made.
I mean, to enforce our objection about the 160, we're going to bus people. This one's not even taken into consideration about the schooling. They've just done a basic report, so therefore they've heard the report.
Yeah, the present amendment is asking you to comment on the three documents. Mm. So the beginning of any objection you wish to make should be based on information contained in those three documents. All the others, you can reiterate those or choose to amend or withdraw them as committee sees fit.
I would include that on the basis that the 160 was rejected and they were intending to bus.
It's worthy of asking a question.
Yes.
I don't think it's a material ground.
There is no data in this application which lays out how children from this development, if it was given permission, were going to be schooled in the first place, or primary school. That's preschool and primary school. How are they going to be schooled in and where? Mm-hmm. And if it is not within this village, how are they going to transport them from here to there?
Transportation arrangements.
Because to be fair, the minute they say they're going to get into their own cars and drive, then the sustainability and the trips for the children going to school goes way through the roof. Mm-hmm. So they can't say that, so they have to do.
So, to distill this down a little bit, we wish to object in to the amendment because the new transport information seems to be based on a flawed model, certainly using old data.
Pre the Hopkins Homes care home.
Prior, it doesn't take into account any of the development around that area. There is no comment other than the school is walking distance of how the children are going to be schooled because the school is already full.
Even given the extension. I think we need to make that clear, Chair, that it's been extended as of the 199 and it's now full. Yeah. So we have an issue of where the 199 are going to go.
So we can...
Or Bali.
Big schools either. Drainage and ecology, I don't think there's any...
Wasn't this the three soakaways to one house or something?
I think that was then fixed in the amended document.
I didn't pick that up as being amended.
That's when...
Sustainable drainage engineer. Was that one?
Sorry. The one where it changed from being
bad
to good.
Acceptable.
Well, for every technical objection, there's a technical solution.
There was one of the.
It can be raised, but I think it's been fixed already.
You ought to raise it, Chair, though, if you like it.
Well, that's the one that was approved. So that one, to apologise. But there was also the planning consultation response from Highways. The application has failed to take into consideration layout and approved for 199. This is the,
that's the traffic.
That's the other document. So we support that. And again, we reiterate that we're supporting the local note and the local residents, because it's going to be hell for them, and also the overlooking all the other things that we've already. Did we say that in our previous one, Mr. Clark?
Sorry, did you say what?
About the overlooking of the privacy, etc., etc., of the houses before.
Yes.
Thank you. And the fact it's outside of its.
So. To go back, I think what we want to do is object even to the moment as the traffic planning is out of date. It doesn't take into account the new developments that have happened. It's based on old data. There is no plan in there for what to do with children of school age, other than to walk. 160 houses that was rejected by a planning authority had plans to bus people around. There are no similar or equivalent plans here. The school, as we know, is full already. It's even before the 199.
Yeah, I think that needs to be a lesson. And also, we are at capacity at doctor's surgeries.
Well, I'm just reading this, Chair. In the health statement, in the document, section 6 conclusion, it talks about health. it says that future residents benefit from an accessible location to good connectivity to employment opportunities at Cambridge, Royston and the surrounding area. Mm-hmm. That's fine. The impact of proposed residential development on the health facilities will be managed and mitigated through the application determinant process. If beyond the scope of the health impact assessment, it's demonstrated there is insufficient capacity at health facilities to accommodate the future residents of the proposal, request for financial contributions can be made to the acting. Now, basically they're saying that what they can do is that we can chuck an S106 at the NHS England to try and add extra capacity at Melbourne Village Surgery, which the 199 can't do, even with its £140,000 worth of S106 for the NHS. It's not going to change the surgery.
This is not one of the documents that is listed.
No, that's a shame.
As the amendments. We have already pointed out capacity of doctor surgery being an issue.
So just reiterate what we've done, plus add these other comments.
I mean just a note at the start in to statement, so we still have the same objections that have been posted previously, plus the traffic and so forth. Mm-hmm. So on those grounds we object with those comments. Mm-hmm. Can I have a proposal then, please? Councillor Clark. Seconded by Councillor Buxton, and those in favour. Thank you. Item PL4618 is to note the date of the next meeting, which is the 10th of December. And there being no other business, I close the meeting.